Great to be. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, FCA. Thank you, Rick, Horton. Thank you, Mark. Thank you all for being here today. Thank you for the video, because, you know, that's really very powerful, because the great thing about it is you see all these guys talking in the media about a person's life, and they don't really have the last say. They just imagine that they have the last say what's going to happen in a person's life, and they really don't have the last say. You know, God has the last say in all our lives, and I'm going to show you that here in a little bit. It's good to be here. Thank God for this time to share with you guys, about life and challenges, and share what's the importance of this mission field for FCA, for young people. Because, see, I'm older. I'm 56. I'll be 57 this year. I don't know how long God's going to keep me here, and it's not about me. It's about making a difference in who we can help and how we can empower people's lives and change people. Because that's what God does. He changes people. And the kids have an opportunity to know about Jesus Christ early. And I think it's so important as an adult to be able to give them, use an example of your life for young people and tell them the temptations and the challenges out there are real. No one can get away from it. So let us pray. Father, we love you. We honor you. Father, I thank you for the abundance that you have brought here today to do great work for this community, for FCA. Father, we pray for the kids' lives, those that are going to be touched, those that are going to have an encounter with Jesus. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Father, we thank you that you will use all of our broken pieces of our life for your glory. There's no one like you, Lord. We all are human beings who all fall short of your glory. But at the end of the day, Father, you have the last say. Use this day to speak to somebody's heart. Somebody came in here today doubting, not knowing. Somebody came in here today thinking about involving themselves with FCA. I ask that you pierce their heart right now and touch them in such a mighty way that they will become a part of an organization in their own community to make a difference. Not to say, look at me, but say, look at your kingdom, Father. We send this petition up to you, Father, and we ask that you seal it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Like I said, it's good to be here among all these Cardinal fans. You can clap for it. Go ahead. I'm quite sure they got a few Cub fans running around. You know, my days of baseball was pretty cool to be able to. I always thank the Lord that you allow me to beat up on the Cardinals and the Cubs. No, but I had a great time. I had a great time playing baseball and a great time playing in St. Louis and great time knowing guys like Rick and so many other guys, and just our life as a baseball player. And putting on a uniform really doesn't define you, really doesn't make you who you are. You know, putting on a uniform just made me a baseball player. That's all it did. I came from a broken situation. You know, my dad was an alcoholic. He beat me and said I'd never amount to nothing. And came home for the last time, pulled out a shotgun when I was 14, said he was going to kill the whole family. See, I was already scarred before I ever put the uniform on. I was already broken. See, brokenness is real. Lawlessness brings about brokenness. And brokenness is real. And nobody can really heal the brokenness on the inside of a person but Jesus himself. Not a man, not money, not fame, not fortune. You know, I lived a privileged life. I had a life of having everything and living behind the community gates and having millions of dollars and having homes and success and stuff and more stuff and trophies and rings and everything. But I had nothing but a bunch of stuff. I was still empty on the inside, still searching. Like most of us do, we still search. We try to buy more of this and get more of this to make me feel better. And it will never, ever make you feel better. It just makes you feel better for that moment. Lived a privileged life, and my kids have been privileged, and they've never been to public schools and been to private schools because I was successful and put them in private schools. Did I do it wrong for them? And I always think sometimes, yeah, I might have. Because, see, the legacy I want to leave for my children is not to have stuff, but I want to leave the legacy that Jesus is Lord. Because, see, that's what my mother left for me. See, my mother prayed for me when I was broken and I was a heathen and a womanizer and an alcoholic and a drug addict and a sinner. My mother was praying for me and praying that God would knock me off of that throne and save me. And my mother died at the age of 55 from terminal breast cancer. I had cancer twice. I lost my left kidney in my second surgery. I said, God, why you keep me here? Because he says, it's not about you. Too many of us get consumed and think it's about us and what we do and what we have and who we are. And God tries to get us to understand it's never about you. It's about me using you to help somebody else. There it was, having my mother labor over her kids, five of us. We found a journal under her bed after she died, age of 55, terminal breast cancer. I cried so hard, I never got out of bed for 2 weeks because Mama was gone. That's all I had, ever had, Mama. I didn't have a father. Didn't have nothing but Mom to love me. And when she passed away, we found a journal under her bed. She had been praying for all of us to be saved. I prayed for her one night when she was sick in the bed, and she said, pray for me. And I prayed, and she says, God just spoke to me. She said, God said he gonna get it out of you. She said, you gonna go through it, but he gonna get it out of you. Boy, I tell you, Mama don't lie. And there I was going through, you know, the trials and tribulations of life, you know, because of fame and fortune and because I could hit home runs and addiction. And there I was, you know, having cancer twice and losing my left kidney. If you never seen a miracle, you looking at one. If you don't think God is still today in the business of miracle, God is always in the business of miracles. But when we understand the miracle is his and it's not ours, then he's able to use us to make a difference in a community, in a society, to change the culture of our young people. We wonder why it won't change. Because the reason why it won't change, because we haven't entered in as adults. We haven't entered in to give the kids what they need. They don't need stuff. They need biblical principles. They need to be taught the gospel. And this is what FCA is so good about, teaching them the gospel. Because temptations are going to come. Drugs are going to come at them. Lust is going to come at them. Everything's going to come at them. But the only thing that's going to be able to hold them and help them stand is the gospel. Nothing else. I don't care how successful you get. I don't care how much fame you get. The gospel is the only thing that will sustain you and save you and change you. If we really, truly know who Jesus is. See, I got tired of being a hypocrite. I was talking to Randall Cunningham one day. He's a pastor out in Las Vegas. Played with the Eagles, you know, and he's a big-time pastor now. He said he got tired of being a hypocrite. I got tired of being a hypocrite too, talking about Jesus, didn't really know him. Just knew his name. So many of us just know his name. See, that's what happened when he hung on the cross. The Roman Empire had no idea who they was hanging on the cross. And he said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? And his last words on the cross was, it is finished. See, they didn't know him. See, Jesus is a holy man. He went to the tomb on the third day. He got up and he got up from the tomb, and not only did he get up, he was risen from the tomb, but he got up with all power in his hand. And we get to have the same thing Jesus had. Galatians 2:20 talks about it. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. It is Christ who rules and reigns in me. See, I wanted something for real. I didn't want fame, fortune no more. I wanted Jesus. That's a holy man. That's a righteous man. He's not like us. He's the only one that will come to earth. He's the only one that has no sin in him. He's the one, he's not just Jesus. See, so many people think he's just Jesus. And I used to say his name too, Jesus, but I didn't really know his power. His power is greater than his name. Because he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. By his stripes, I get to be healed. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's everything. Everything that I've been looking for is in this book. I don't know what took me so long to pick it up. Because if you pick it up, you'll get the revelation. It's all here. And guess what? It's free. This here is free. Everything else is going to cost you. But this book here is free. John 3:30 talks about it. He must increase, but I must decrease. There has to be a complete decrease inside of me so he can increase, so he can become God inside of me, so I can operate in the capacity that I'm not even qualified to operate in. See, when God called me 9 years ago, he said, walk away from the business and everything. I said, really? I said, you just blessed me. He said, that's not the blessing I want to give to you. And I didn't want to walk away. I had a restaurant business in New York, and I wouldn't walk away. And he made it miserable for 6 months. And I looked out that window, and he said, you're going to walk away? I said, yes. Because he says, you're going to preach the gospel. I said, I do not want to preach the gospel. Because one thing I do know, getting in the pulpit ain't nothing to play with. God will not be mocked. People think they're getting away with stuff. God will not be mocked. He's no joke when it comes to it. I says, I'm not qualified. He says, no one is qualified. I qualify the call. I said, I don't understand. I can't comprehend the Bible. He says, you're not going to comprehend it. The Holy Spirit is going to ascend up on you. He's going to teach you all things. Saturate yourself with it. Listen to him. He's going to teach you the Bible. He's going to teach you scriptures. He's going to teach you everything about my kingdom. Because the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit started teaching me everything because I saturated with myself and separated myself. That's why it's so important what FCA has the opportunity to go on the school. Oh, glory to God. This is the greatest mission field that you will ever, ever see with FCA, Fellowship for Christian Athletes. God sends them on the school grounds to reach kids with the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news, the gospel. And I just think about how when God called me, I knew I wasn't qualified. But God's always going to do the same thing. A gentleman asked me today, how does this happen in your life? God's going to always do what he do. He's going to always use people to help people. See, Moses was a man that couldn't speak, had a speech impediment. He had an anger problem, killed an Egyptian. 400 years of slavery, God takes him to get the Israelites out of bondage. Just like that. Because that's what God does. Had Moses not walked, what they didn't understand was Moses walked with humility. When you come to a place and walk with humility with God, God will exalt you right in front of everybody, just like that, when you can humble yourself. See, the ego of a man keeps me separated. See, my ego kept me separated from who God was. My ego is a three-letter word, easing God out. Kept me separated because society tells me I should have this and this works and that works and the stock market and I need more money, I need more of this. No, you need more of Jesus. And when you get more of Jesus, God will give you everything and he will equip you to do his work. See, when I started this journey with my wife 16 years ago, I was $3 million in debt and didn't have a driver's license. I was shooting dope and smoking crack, and she was pulling me out of dope houses because I'm telling you, God's always going to use people. And I said, why don't you and God just leave me here and let me die? She said, you're just not that lucky. Just think about how lucky some of us are sitting here. God has kept us here. One thing you need to understand about God is God does not need us. But he loves us enough that he would give us grace. And when we understand grace, grace is not something that you deserve, not something that you can earn. His grace that he gives to us to be able to go out, and he equips us to go out and make a difference and tell a dying, dark world about his wonderful son, Jesus. Do we really know who he is? He's the Messiah. I had a chance to spend quality time, 16 days in Israel, me and my wife Tracy. And we got the chance to walk across the grounds of where Jesus was and where he's coming back. And it's such a holy place if you ever go there. Got a chance to see how the Jewish community live. Every weekend Shabbat comes, everything shuts down. They live in such a way of peace and worship and love and unity as people. We miss that. That's what God is trying to get us to be like. As people, his people, not looking at the society and the color and culture of where people come from. See, 2 Chronicles 7:14 talks about it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek and turn, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We're the same people as they were 2,000 years ago, where they didn't believe. The Israelites didn't believe Moses was a great leader. All they had to do was believe they could have been in the promised land in 11 days. They complained so much, God sent them in the wilderness for another 40 years. I love God. He'll leave you stuck right where you're at. Had I not gotten on my face and asked God to forgive me, I wouldn't be standing up here preaching the gospel today because I'm not qualified. The power of the Holy Spirit is in me, and he preaches the gospel. He knows all things. See, when Jesus said that when he was ascending to heaven, after he came back and he was resurrected, he said the Holy Spirit is going to come, the Comforter is going to come, and he's going to teach you all things in remembrance of me. You get to know all the things that Christ knew. Young people, stay with Christ. Don't get caught up in the hype. I've been there. Other people could tell you we've been there. It's great to play sports. It's great to have fun playing sports, but make Jesus Lord over your life, because you will save yourself some real headaches from a society that's dying and broken. I see it today. I travel the country. There's such a great epidemic with opiates and heroin. There are so many young people dying. I've never seen it. It's so crazy. The enemy is on the move and destroying people, just like Jesus said in John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. Abundant life is peace, joy, wisdom, knowledge, power. But he said the enemy would come and destroy, and guess what? He's doing it right in front of our eyes, because we won't follow these principles. We'll follow everything else, but we won't follow God's ways and principles. That's why I love FCA. That's why I go speak to them. That's why it's great to be a part of such an organization like this, that gives our young people the opportunity to fall in love with Jesus at an early age. Just because some of us missed it, don't mean you can't get it right now. All you got to do is give God your heart. David was a wicked man. He put his man Uriah on the front line to get killed so he could have his wife by Bathsheba. But God goes and says, he's a man after my own heart. God don't need your money. FCA needs your money. I got to make that clear. But God goes and says, David is a man after my own heart, even in his own wickedness. God loves the one that opens his heart. And have an impact. I'm not talking about a worldly impact. I'm talking about a kingdom impact. God loves it when you take care of these young people's lives. All of us have a responsibility. You're adult, you know what I'm talking about. We all have a great responsibility. When I started with God, this journey, me and my wife Tracy, she said, when pulling me out of the dope house in Florida, she said, we're moving back to St. Louis. I said, I'm not going to no St. Louis. Ain't no black folks living in St. Louis. But I was crazy. But she was for God. Men, listen to me. Hear me. God used a woman to restore me. So don't always think they're wrong. If we just can come to a place and listen and open your heart to it, God will use her. God used her to multiply, increase us. I started in debt, $3 million, I ain't in debt no more. And God multiplied and increased us because of that woman in my life I listened to. Go. And it's not to take anything away from us, guys. I'm just sharing this moment with you. Because look what happened to my life. I got a chance to taste and see that the Lord was good because my wife was faithful to God. I watched her every morning. I still watch her to this day. She roll out of bed and she gets with God. At 5:30 in the morning, she gets up to go pray with God. I said, God, well, I ain't getting up at 5:30. But she's faithful to God. She's faithful to God. And I saw her faith to God, and I wanted what she had. I said, God, why is she like that with you? He said, because she spends time with me. I said, well, I want what she got. He says, well, you're going to need to spend some time with me. That's the only way you're going to get it, because she can't give it to you. And he's there for all of us to be able to be great and do great work for him. Not being great in a society that says you have to be great because you achieve all these things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. We get to achieve the kingdom of God. We get to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added into you. It's amazing what God will give you if you commit to him. It's better than money. It's better than sex. It's better than stuff. Because what he gives to you is eternal. He gives you eternal goods. Heaven and earth gonna pass away, but not my word. All this is gonna pass away, but the word of God is never gonna pass away. God's gonna always take his word and put it down and deposit it in somebody that really says yes. You know what yes is, a three-letter word with God? Y-E-S, you enjoy salvation. See, I get to live a life. I get to know who I am today. Not a baseball player, not Daryl Strawberry winning championships. I get to know that I'm a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now I get to eat from a land that I don't even know about because it's God's land. And it's greater than anything you can ever imagine. It's greater than anything that you can ever want. And our young people need to get this. They need to know that they're specially made by God. God's got a perfect plan for your life. If you follow him, you follow his biblical principles, and you don't compromise, God will exalt you. God will multiply you. God will increase you. God will give you favor in a land. Young people, he will give you favor. Don't wait till you're 35, 45, 55, 65 and have them trying to get it. You can still get it at that age. But if I was young and had a group like FCA that were pouring biblical principles into my life would have been different. Yeah, you're going to struggle and you're going to have some challenges, but your life would be different. Jesus is here to rescue us from our sinful ways. He's here to redeem us by his blood. He's here to restore us with his grace. See, it's pretty cool when you get that. It's pretty cool when you start hanging out with Jesus. See, Jesus is really cool when you hang out with him. When you really get to know him and hang out with him like the disciples did and they hung out with him. But they saw all the miracles, but they still didn't believe like most of us. So let me break this down now as I get close to the end. About the book of John. The book of John is about believing. John 3:3 told Nicodemus, the one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about the natural birth, which all of us are here. He's talking about the supernatural birth, the second birth, which is the spiritual birth. John 4, he told the woman at the well about her five husbands and said, the one you would now is not your husband. So there's no secrets with God. He sees everything. He knows everything. Because, by the way, he told me when he called me, he said, by the way, you need to know everything you were doing, I saw. I said, everything? He said, everything. That woman at the well, he told her, by the way, y'all keep drinking out of that well, y'all gonna always be thirsty. But if you drink this living water here that I give you, the word of God, you will never, never thirst again. As long as I've been picking up this Bible, I have never been thirsty again because I drank living water. John 8, the woman caught in adultery, don't be like the Sadducees and the scribes and the Pharisees pointing at her sin, you know, because we all will fall short. And they were pointing at her sin. Jesus was just stooping down and saying, right, and he just kind of rolls himself up, and he says, he who without sin cast the first stone. See, they was trying to trap him because of the law, because of Moses, the law. And the law, they were trying to trap Jesus. But Jesus didn't come here to destroy the law. He came here to fulfill the law. And he's done it. And he's done it through his people. And then the condition of us, John 5, I'm going to close with this. The condition of all of us, no different than all those in the Bible, they all had issues. Moses couldn't speak. Peter denied Christ 3 times and crucified upside down. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel. He jumped on the boat to go the other way. God throws him in the belly of a fish for 3 days, 3 nights. Spits him out. He goes to tell him to repent. The whole city gets saved, 600,000 by one man. 600,000 get saved because he tells them to repent. God is amazing. John 5, pool of Bethesda. Just like all of us had conditions, I had conditions with drugs, alcohol, womanizer, lust, this, everything. Whatever you want to call it. Had it all. Every headline you seen was true. Broken, empty, because I had a condition. Jesus saw the man by the pool of Bethesda. Angels used to stir up the pool every day. Whoever gets in first get well. This one man sat there, read it, John 5, sat there for 38 years in a condition. 38 years sitting. Jesus never asked the man about his condition because he already knew it. Jesus asked that man one particular thing. Do you want to be well? And the man says, sir, every time he's not talking about the excuses. He says, do you want to be well? He says, finally said, yes. Jesus says, pick up your bed and walk. Be well. Like that. Miracles. Miracles. That's just what happened to me. I finally said yes to the Lord. I want to be well. The woman with the blood issue, she had a blood issue for 12 years, touched the hem of his garment. She was made well immediately because of the power that comes out of Jesus. Great power, great wonderful working power comes out of Jesus. When I decide to follow him, when I decide to lift him up, when I decide to tell other people, when I decide to encourage young people, when I decide to invest in young people, when I decide to invest in my own community, my own money in a program for the FCA and give them money to make a difference in the community. God will always take care of you when he sees your heart that way. Because he looks at the heart. Not the title, not the success, but he looks at the heart. You in this community, these kids, they need you. More than you can ever imagine. Some of you need to get involved more. Help our young people. Show them that their life matters. We don't know what their stories are at home. We don't know what's happening to them. Go invest. Go into a different community. Don't go into your own community. Go into a different community and do something different. God will bless you because he's crazy about you. And he's challenging you, he's stretching you today. That's why he sent me here. He didn't send you here because I was a great baseball player. He sent me here because he deposited his spirit down in me to tell you about how great he is and how merciful he is. His grace is sufficient. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for FCA. Father, I thank you for the young people. Father, I bind every assignment that the enemy has. I ask that you put a hedge of protection around them. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. They're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We know they're going to be challenged with temptations and lust and drugs and all type of things, but we bind the enemy right now, Father. Father, I thank you for every soul that's here today. I thank you for the hearts that's been touched. Father, I know you pierced the hearts of your people in this community. I pray that some will get involved, some will sow even more than what they thought they were coming to sow to make a difference for the FCA. I pray that you just give them abundance right now through this community, through their love and through their heart, Father, that they will see the importance of this day. In Jesus' precious name, we send this petition up to you. We ask that you seal it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.